Revelation chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. If this verse isn't marked in your Bible, mark it. Revelation 11:1. Very, very important. Think about the last verse in Haggai, Haggai 2:23. And I have appointed thee, O Zerubbabel, as a signet, as a sign. What did Zerubbabel do? What do you know about Zerubbabel? He built Zerubbabel's temple, the second temple. Herod did a good job remodeling it, but it was still Zerubbabel's temple. It wasn't Herod's temple. He just remodeled Zerubbabel's temple. Zerubbabel was the one who was famous for rebuilding the temple, a sign, a very important sign to us. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Despise not the day of small beginnings. He will measure every human heart by its attitude toward this altar, this oblation altar. If you don't know what the oblation is about, find out what the oblation is about. It has nothing to do with the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oblation is a voluntary gift offered at a sacrifice or a shrine that has nothing to do with blood. It has nothing to do with sin. It has nothing to do with blood. And the apostles risked their life twice a day, every day, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, so we would know how important this altar is, the oblation. You could lock the apostles up. You could beat them. You could threaten them. And if necessary, an angel would blow the doors off of the jailhouse, and next morning they'd be back in that temple. James was even killed in the temple. They were always there, morning and evening, for this oblation altar. Brethren, don't speak against God's altar. Every human heart is going to be measured. Look at it again. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God. We are the temple of God. We're going to be measured. And the altar, we're going to be measured by our attitude toward that altar. The Lord owns the fullness of the earth because He created it and He redeemed it. Don't speak against that altar. And there was given to me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God. Every temple of God is going to be measured by that altar and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That means they just preach repentance. That's what sackcloth is all about, repentance. And these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks. They give light, stand as trees, giving oil and light. The oil, the olive trees, give oil of the Holy Spirit. Candlesticks, giving light, standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devours their enemy. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. These two will go to the altar in the morning and in the evening. They will go up on the temple mount. They will pronounce a series of judgments that will take place before the evening oblation. There is no way that you'll keep the cameras off of these two, because everyone in the world is going to want to know, are we going to get hit today, and what are we going to get hit with? And then in the evening they'll speak another set of judgments to occur in different places in the world before the morning oblation offering. And so everybody's going to hate these guys. They won't see what it is. Wave after wave of judgment from God Almighty calling men to repent. And they don't repent. They hate these two for pronouncing these judgments instead. And when they have finished their testimony, and it doesn't have to be 1,260 days, brethren, all they have to do is speak these judgments after that altar is set up. That altar can be set up in 30 minutes. Anyone who tells you that they have to rebuild the temple before the Antichrist can be revealed, the only thing they're telling you is they have not read the book of Ezra. In Ezra, you find that there cannot be a single stone placed in the foundation of the temple until the altar is operational. We must have the morning and evening oblation, altar, offering. And that oblation, offering, don't speak against God's altar. The apostles risked their life twice a day every day so that we would know better than that. You better not be against that altar. All the people in the world, and even most of the Christians, are going to say, those bloody Christ-killer Jews, they just don't get it. Well, brethren, don't speak against God's altar. Oh, the wisdom of God to set up such a thing as this, to fly in the face of the Pope's Antichrist New World Order religion of tolerance. Brethren, don't speak against that altar. Don't be near anyone who speaks against that altar. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entereth into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Hallelujah. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their feet fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and has reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give them that fear thy name, small and great. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them which fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Now, brethren, these two witnesses are Moses and Elijah, the same two that were with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the only thing that we know is that they conclude their ministry together in Jerusalem. They can minister any portion of those 1260 days separately, but we know at the end they come together, and I don't think they're going to be going up to that Temple Mount very long before they get stopped and killed. Now that'll be very near the end, because there's good reason to believe when they go up, God's people go up. The resurrection and the rapture occur, and they go up at the end, and there's good reason to believe that when they go up, everybody that's going up will go up. It never ceases to amaze me how many people think this is some sort of maybe reincarnation or something. No, it's just two people that God calls with the anointings that Elijah had and the anointings that Moses had. He calls them his two witnesses. But as far as identifying them by name, I would name them Elijah and Moses, because those are the names of the two witnesses who were with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And if you look at the power, the anointing that these guys have, peculiar special miracles that they do, which are peculiar. The only people that God ever anointed to do these particular things were Elijah to call down fire from heaven, and Moses to turn water to blood. So withholding the rain, also Elijah bringing forth water from the rock, that's just another sign that Moses only was anointed to do. Brethren, I hope by now that you can see that the things in the book of Revelation don't necessarily follow a direct sequential order. John is caught up to the third heaven, and I always thought it was kind of like going into the Heavenly Master video control room, where he sees this and then he's taken with his attention over to here and then over to there. But the one thing that helps keep the thing in perspective in terms of the sequence of events is if you know that the fifth seal, the fifth trumpet, and the fifth vial happen coincidentally. And this will really help you in terms of keeping things in some sort of a reference frame, because it goes from one to another and it shifts forward and backward in time. But I think if you know that key, then you'll be able to follow and track these pretty well. Chapter 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is Israel, the family of God. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, all control of the governments of the world, and all power of force to execute this war on the saints, and 7 crowns upon his head. It's interesting, if you look at the crest of Prince Charles, he's the only monarch who ever had 10 horns, 10 heraldic beasts, and you can count him on his crest. There's also 7 crowns upon his crest. And his tail, Satan, is the red dragon, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. He led a third of the angels of heaven, the worshiping angels, as chief of the worshiping angels. He led a third part of the angels of heaven, or the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. In his rebellion, he was cast finally to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born. Satan knew that from this nation of Israel, this woman, would come the Messiah. And he was there ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And her child, at the ascension, after 40 days that he walked with the apostles, after he was resurrected from the dead, and her child, the Lord Jesus Christ, was caught up unto God and to his throne. And there he is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality, power, thrones, and dominion. And now that Satan is cast out of the third heaven, we should remind him that we have access by his Holy Spirit. As we walk in submission to God, in true righteousness and true holiness, we are seated with him in that third heaven position on his throne, which is above all principality, all power, all thrones, all dominions, and remind the devil and his host that they no longer have access to that wonderful place, that we are seated by the Holy Spirit as we walk in submission to God. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Brethren, we're going to have to deal with demonic manifestations like no people who have ever had their feet on this planet. Because all this time, until this war, which I believe was recently concluded, a certain major portion of the demonic host was in heaven, still trying to get the faithful angels to join them in their rebellion, carrying on this accuser of the brethren before the very throne of God. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Brethren, we will be overcomers in this war. The outcome of this war was totally settled and decided 2,000 years ago. Had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We are the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood is on the mercy seat. We have hard physical evidence that we are redeemed. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. What's our testimony? My testimony, because I observe the day that the Creator of heaven and earth said to observe and keep holy, that's my testimony to the world. Brethren, the Sabbath, the fourth commandment of God, hasn't changed, and it's much more important in these days. It's not that we keep Sabbath, the Sabbath keeps us. And by the word of their testimony, we need to have a testimony. What's your testimony? Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Hallelujah. And they loved not their lives to the death. Winning is not whether we endure and live to the end for the rapture, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. We don't fight fair at all in this war, brethren, because we don't die. The Lord Jesus Christ told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me will never die. Do you believe this? You see, we don't have fear of death, and that's why we can be overcomers. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. You want to be part of the remnant? You better keep the commandments of God. You're not part of the remnant if you don't keep the commandments of God. That's not legalism, that's obedience. That's being in submission to God. That's what's necessary in order to be able to resist the devil and have the devil flee from you. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.